Psalm 4. This is the reading of God's Word. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O sons of men, how long will my honor become a reproach? How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Many are saying, who will show us any good? Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart, more than when their grain and new wine abound. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of hearing your word. We thank you that as we hear your word, that our faith grow and we will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh Father, bless us. Let us see what your Son has done, what he has accomplished for us. And let us, through your word, meet your Son and have fellowship with him. Oh Father, we pray that by your grace, your word will be preached correctly and that all of us will hear it and we will understand it and we will believe it and we will obey it. We thank you, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the title of our psalm says that the psalm is written by King David. And we have no problem accepting what the title says. Many believe that the historical background to this psalm is the same as Psalm 3, the rebellion of David's own son, Absalom. But there is no clear proof whatsoever to say without any doubt that that is so. So we leave it alone. If we could see Psalm 3 as a morning prayer, because Psalm 3 verse 5 says, I lay down and slept and I awoke. Then we could see our Psalm 4, as an evening prayer, because verse 8 says, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. And if we do this, then we could see Psalm 5, which we will study next time, as again a morning prayer. Because verse 3 there says, in the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. And the title has an instruction for the choir director. This psalm should be played on stringed instruments. Or the word here is neginath, and I don't know if I pronounce that right. And we don't know what that word's meaning is, but there are many suggestions, and if we take one of those suggestions, then it could be understood as saying that this psalm should be played in a tune that is named Neginath. Again, sometimes these titles help us to understand the psalm better. Sometimes they don't. So let's start then. Verse 1. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. Again, David cries out to God in distress. And you will see that as you read these psalms, most of them, you could tell that when they're writing these psalms, they were suffering. They were in distress. This shows the life of a Christian. And when you read the book of Revelation, every time that that book shows the church, they're always suffering. 100%. And if you could find the contrary to what I just said, then you show me. Unless the book of Revelation is showing church in heaven, oh, they're all rejoicing and they're singing. You got to understand what the Bible is telling us in general way. How Christian life is. It's life of suffering. David cries out, O God of my righteousness. King David knows the source of his righteousness. And Paul actually tells us that fact. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, there Paul explains how we are saved by grace, not by works. Romans chapter 4, I'm going to read from verse 4. Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. So if you work at a place, like company, then the owner, he needs to give you, he needs to pay you. And when you work like that, your wage is not credited as a favor. Your, you know, owner of that company is not doing a favor to you by paying you. No, you work for it. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. But even though you didn't do any work, but you believe that it is Jesus Christ who justifies ungodly, then your faith is credited as righteousness, just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man who to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin is the sin the Lord will not take into account. So here Paul says that David understood salvation by grace and grace alone. That's why David said these things in his Psalms. And you know, Paul is not specifically talking about Psalm 4, but from what Paul says in Romans, we could tell that David actually understood this salvation by grace and grace alone. So when he cries out, O God of my righteousness, we understand where he is coming from. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. As you could see, David looks forward to the Messiah as he prays to God in our psalm. Thus, he has the certainty when he prays. You have relieved me in my distress. God is faithful. God who helped me in the past will help me now. And this relieved, this word, the picture here is that God provided a space as the troubles all around him closed in on him. Now, verse 1 gives us so much joy. It shows us that there is a fellowship of communication between God and his people. We call God and God answers us. He hears our prayers. Verse 2, O son of man, how long will my honor become a reproach? How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? O sons of men, the man there, the word is Ish. If you go to Isaiah chapter 2, verse 9a, it says, so the common man has been humbled, and the man of importance has been abased. Here, the common man, the word for man, is Adam. But the man of importance, that phrase, the word for man there is Ish. Just like what we see in our passage. Thus, we conclude son of man in our verse are the man of importance, who are rich and powerful. So how long will my honor become a reproach? O sons of man, how long will you turn my glory into shame? That's what David is saying. There are many who criticize and attack David. But this is the experience of the believers in this world. If you go out and whenever you open your mouth, you speak what the Bible says. It is guaranteed you will make many enemies. Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. So have I become your enemy by telling you the truth. And this is the only thing Paul did. He spoke the truth. And without any good reason, people starting to hate him. They just hate you because they don't want to accept what the truth says. So, do I become your enemy by telling you the truth? The world mocks and rejects the truth. They turn our glory into shame. How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? See, they are in delusion. They love worthless things. Solomon tells us that all that is under the sun is worthless. A utterly worthless, he says. But the world is in love with worthless things, worldly things. Well, that's all they know. Their whole focus is about gaining worldly things. And they aim at deception. They seek after lies, seek false gods. Verse 3, but know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call him. The world hates the believers, but God has set them apart, set the godly men for himself. Here, godly, meaning Psalm 50, verse 5, gather my godly ones to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The godly ones are the servants of God's covenant. The Lord has set them apart. They are the holy ones. That's what it means to be set apart, that you are holy. God hears the prayers of the holy ones. And verse 4, tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon you, upon your bed, and be still. David says to those who persecute him, actually, from verse 2 through 5, David is speaking to them. In God's presence, God who is highly exalted, Almighty God, in the presence of His majesty and authority, David said, do not speak in haste. Do not sin. Examine yourself when all things are quiet. Right before you sleep, examine your hearts. Learn in silence. Tremble and do not sin. Do not sin when you are angry. We move on to verse 5. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. The sacrifice of righteousness. Psalm 50 verse 14, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And pay your vows to the Most High. Psalm 51, verse 16 and 17, for you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. A broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, a true repenting heart. That's what David says that we should offer. And we should trust in the Lord. Verse 6a, many are saying, who will show us any good? Who are these many? Well, these are the ones who are around David. As they see their circumstances, they say, who will show us any good? It's kind of sarcasm, you know. God is not showing us any good. So who will show us any good? See, they do not live by faith. They live by sight. And according to what they see, they say this, who will show us any good? The believers who are around David speaks as if they are non-believers. They desire the world. They desire the success of this world. Thus, there is no satisfaction in their hearts. But David desires God. Verse 6b, lift up your light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. God delighting in us, God receiving us in joy, that is true blessing. And for you and for me, that is truly enough. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26, the Lord bless you and keep you, and Lord make your face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. It's God's benediction. The Lord make his face shine on you, and that is our joy. God shining in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And that has already happened in us, and that is enough for us. Verse 7, you have put gladness in my heart, more than when their grain and new wine abound. The gladness that God has put in my heart, he's speaking about that gladness. And brothers and sisters, my question to you is, do you know this gladness? The gladness that God has put in your heart. The believers are the happy ones. Only reason that we are not happy is that we don't understand what Christ has done and he has accomplished for us. See, we possess the gladness in our hearts that is far greater than anything in this world can give us. Obviously, there is no gladness in God's judgment. So, many passages in the Old Testament, it describes God's judgment, you know, in so many ways, but one is that there's no gladness. Our joy is constant because it is never connected to our eternal, never connected to what is in this world. This is why our gladness, verse 7b says, more than when their grain and new wine abound. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4, great is my confidence in you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am overflowing with joy in all our affliction. That surprises so many people. How can you be joyous in your affliction? Because his joy is not connected to the worldly things or what happens in this world. His joy is according to his heavenly reality. That's why his joy is constant. It doesn't change. So Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 17 through 19, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the field, a fold, and there will be no cattle in the stall, yet I will exult in the Lord, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. See, our gladness, our joy doesn't depend on what we have in this world. Even if we don't have anything, we will still rejoice. Rejoice in his salvation. And he is our strength. Thus, verse 8, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. See, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. It is not something that a person who is always worrying can do. To us, God's peace is given. Yes, even in the midst of sufferings and tribulation, in peace, we lie down and sleep. You have to understand, even though it is written in a poetic manner, you know, in this world, when you write a poem, you tend to exaggerate. I mean, that's what how it is. But you have to understand Psalms. These are truth. These are truth, God's word. And listen to what David is saying. He's very, very glad. He rejoices, even though he's suffering. Obviously, this is a prayer of a righteous person. And only person who could fit that description is Jesus Christ. He is the only one who the Father has set apart for himself. Truly godly one. True holy one. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 26, for it was fitting for us to have a such high priest, meaning Jesus Christ, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Many sinners try to make his glory into shame. He is the only one who did not sin and trusted God. God's countenance was always on him. He had perfect fellowship with his Father. He entrusted all things to his Father. And when he was baptized, we hear the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Hebrews 1 chapter 9, the Father God says of the Son God, "You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions." Psalm 16 verse 8 and 9, "I have set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely." So you could see that it is Jesus' psalm. He's the true author of this psalm. But because it is his psalm, it is also our psalm. But only in Jesus Christ it is our psalm. We are the God's chosen ones. We are the godly man in Jesus Christ that God has set apart for himself. John chapter 15, verse 16 and 19. "You did not choose me," Jesus says, "but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit will remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you." God chose us. He has set us apart for himself. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, "Just as he chose us in him," in Jesus, "before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him." 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession." In Christ, we are the holy ones of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 11, "Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 34. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. And we are persecuted in this world for our faith in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. This world makes our glory into shame, mocking our faith. But God gave us joy that this world will never understand. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8, and though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believes in him, you greatly rejoice with joy, inexpressible and full of glory. God gave us the heavenly life, the life that is in sweet fellowship with God forever. And God lives in us now and forever. The gladness overflows in our hearts. Thus Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Philippians chapter 4 verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. See, God's peace is ours to possess and enjoy. And no matter what the circumstances that we find ourselves in, this peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds. Yes, our God is God of our righteousness. Because Jesus' righteousness has been imputed to us. Thus we live with the confidence that God will hear our prayers. Thus we too in peace lie down and sleep. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6, for God who said, light shall shine out of the darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Before we end, let me remind you how this amazing reality has been accomplished for us. How God's face always shines upon us. Jesus Christ bearing our sins. He died on the cross for us. And there God the Father has forsook him. He turned his face away from Jesus. Jesus cried out to the Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Father did not answer him. The Father abandoned his Son because Jesus was bearing our sins. You know, forever and ever, God the Father and God the Son, they were in fellowship. And yet on the cross, the Father turns away his face. And that is why, even now, as we worship our God, God lifts up the light of his countenance upon you. He will not turn his face from you. His face always shines upon you. This is your heavenly reality. Enjoy Him. Enjoy the fellowship with Him. And in peace, rest in Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the glorious blessing that You pour out to us. How could this psalm be our psalm? That everything that this psalm says is true of us, because it is true of Jesus Christ. Oh Father, we thank You. Your blessings is so amazing. That's why we are able to rejoice always. Because our joy is not according to this world and the things of this world. But our joy is You. You are our eternal inheritance. And no matter what happens in this world, because of all the blessings that You have given us and everything that You have accomplished for us, in peace, we rest now and forever. We thank You and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.